We'll grace you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. With the start of the season after Pentecost, we are at the end of the narrative lectionary for another year. It will start back up again in the fall as the church begins its programming season in full force. I don't know about you, but I've really been enjoying going through the narrative lectionary, which is where we find our lessons that we say each and every week. I've really enjoyed that because it helps us to relearn the stories of our faith in cinematic ways. And you know me, I love movies. So one of the things I was thinking about in April and May was what was going to be helpful to talk about over the summer in our lull with the narrative lectionary. To help me think of some ideas, I read a couple of books, and I know I can hear some groaning right now. And the one that really captured my imagination was called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day by Mark Batterson. It was a book I was suggested to by Pastor Bob Castro, whose class I went to on preaching at the Senate Assembly this past spring. Now, the tagline to this book is How to Survive and Thrive When Opportunity Roars. I was really taken by this book because it was where I am at right now. And talking to several folks in our congregation, I know a lot of us would find this series very useful. I mean, we all have lions in our lives, right? Now, you guys did just a good job. We have to do that one more time. Can you make that lion noise for me? Roar! Exactly. Now, these lions are big problems. They can be stuff like harmful relationship, alcohol addiction, changes in employment, health conditions, or sometimes where you have to talk to our parents about transitioning to a care center, to name a few. And I bet we all have several more that we're dealing with right now. We have these problems that we face where we can either run or we can fight. And we know if we're going to fight or take these problems on, it isn't going to be easy. And this is where we start today, a fight with a lion. So I'd like you to take out those black pew Bibles that are in front of you and turn to page 262, which will get you to 2 Samuel 23rd, the 23rd one, verse 20. If you're using your Bible apps, again, it's 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20, which if you're using your analog Bibles will be on 262. And sometimes these Bible names can be tricky, so I'm going to shorten them to Ben, son of Jay, was a valiant warrior from Kabzeel, a doer of great deeds. He struck down two sons of Ariel of Moab, and he went down and killed a lion in a pit on a day when snow had fallen. I bet you didn't think you were going to see that in the Bible today, did you? Now, Scripture doesn't tell us what Ben was doing or where he was going when he encountered this lion. We don't know the time of day or Ben's frame of mind, but Scripture does reveal his gut reaction, and it was gutsy. It ranks as one of the most impossible reactions recorded in Scriptures. I don't know about you, but when the image of a man-eating beast travels from the optic nerve and registers in my visual cortex, the brain has one overarching message: run. Normal people run away from lions. They run as far and as fast as possible. But lion chasers are wired differently. And here again is this Hollywood moment. So just imagine this. You can see this on screen. Out of the corner of his eye, Ben sees something coming towards him. Now, we as the audience don't exactly see what's happening because it's one of those snowy Wisconsin days. You know these days where our vision gets obscured by those nice, big, fat snowflakes and our frozen breath. And then suddenly we, the audience, see the form, the shape, a huge lion. Next comes the moment when Ben and the lion lock eyes. We can see their pupils dilate, their muscles tense, adrenaline begins to rush. And we, as the audience members, have our hands firmly on our seats, holding them with white knuckling. You know what's supposed to happen, right? The lion is supposed to pounce, and our hero Ben is just able to slip away by the skin of his teeth, except this time, something different happens. Our hero does the exact opposite. It's crazy. He starts running towards the lion, screaming at the top of his lungs. The lion then does the unexpected and turns tail, and all 500 plus pounds of this fighting machine moves off in the opposite direction. It seems almost comical at first with this bizarre scene of a man chasing a lion. It gets even stranger as the lion slips in its headlong flight and lands into a pit. But luckily, it's a cat. So what does it do? It lands on its feet, right? Now, almost walking on thin ice, Ben measures each step as he approaches the pit, inch by inch, and peers in. Menacing, yellow eyes stare back. This is when we, as the audience, have a collective thought, like when you know that axe murderer is standing behind the door, we shout, "No, don't do it, Ben. No, no, you don't want to do this." Have you ever had one of those moments where you do something crazy and you ask yourself in retrospect, "What was I thinking?" This had to be one of those moments for Ben. He had time to ask himself what would be the best course of action. He had time to weigh the pros and cons. So Ben turns around and starts walking away. And I know we as a collective audience, we breathe a sigh of relief. However, to our terror, Ben turns back around and starts sprinting towards the pit. He's just about at the edge of the pit when he launches himself into the pit and into the same place where that lion is at. This is a PG-13 movie, so we hear a deafening roar, the sound of battle with claws, and a loud battle cry, and then silence. For a long moment, we wait. And then suddenly, a bloody hand comes to the top of the pit, and Ben pulls himself out of the pit, bloody, but none too worse for wear. This is probably one of the most surprising and improbable victories the Bible has ever recorded. Let me share with you one of my core convictions. God is in the business of strategically positioning us in the right place at the right time. I have this conviction based on many things that happened in my life over 45 years of being on this earth. But here's the catch, and here's the answer to that first question on your worship notes if you're taking notes today. The right place often seems like the wrong place, and the right time often seems like the wrong time. Again, the right place often seems like the wrong place, and the right time often seems like the wrong time. I think we can all agree that Ben could have told himself that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time and could have just run off. However, Ben took advantage of this hard situation and ended up besting his lion. And because of this decision to take on the lion instead of running away, when King David was looking for the head of his bodyguard, who do you think he turned to? Yep, it was Ben. And this action had far insights into his life later on. Ben actually became the commander-in-chief of the Israelite army later in life because of what he did. Now, I don't think Ben was calculating on this all happening when he first jumped into the pit with the lion, but it shaped the rest of his life. He decided action was more important than inaction. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I really struggle with is inaction. I don't always stick up for the people that I need to. I don't always listen to people. I don't always give people the benefit of the doubt. And sometimes I let stuff just happen instead of being an active participant in my life and in my world. I mean, does that sound familiar to you? Have you ever felt like this before? As I was reading his book, Mark makes the case, and this is the answer to your second worship note question, is that goodness is not the absence of badness. Goodness is not the absence of badness. He says that we can do no ill, but at the same time, we can do no good. We see that in our gospel lesson for today in the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite walked on by the man who was beaten, laying half dead at the side of the road. They did no ill to the man who was robbed, but they did no good. They didn't act like the neighbor that they were supposed to do. And I think that was what Jesus was getting at with us today as well as with his audience. That action is important. And here's the answer to that last question on your worship notes. Spiritual maturity is seeing and seizing God-ordained opportunities. Spiritual maturity is seeing and seizing God-ordained opportunities. I'm reminded on this Father's Day about how my dad did that. Now, I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. It occurred when we were at one of our biggest rivals for high school swimming, the Billy Goats, Dubuque Senior. It was the last relay, and we needed either to win or to take second and third in order to win the meet. Now, my coach was uncertain of how to proceed, and my dad was on the bench helping with scoring and stuff like that, and he heard coach thinking to himself out loud, and my dad is an introvert. He is more at home watching TV than talking to other people, let alone talking to somebody about swimming strategies. But my dad was convinced that if we split this relay, we would get second and third. It was a daring plan because we had these two relays that were splitting hadn't swam together before, so we didn't know if our timing was going to be right. But he talked to coach. And the coach said, well, let's give it a try. And this decision to talk to coach led to more than us just winning the meet. But it actually propelled my dad into a career of coaching for boys and girls swimming. And he had a positive effect on many hundreds of young men and women through his many years of coaching and impacted their lives in positive ways. And if he hadn't taken that action, had that one conversation, none of this would have happened. But my dad took the opportunity and ran with it. So on this Father's Day Sunday, I ask, what is the lion in your life that you're looking at with fear? What is that thing that you don't know how to handle? This week, I want you to start asking yourself, what is that lion in my life? And here's the harder question. What does God want you to do about it? Now, I hope you can join us each week and the following weeks as we learn more about how to handle our lions. And how do we come to make those decisions to live a life that God wants us to live and that we want to live? Amen.